This is 7210, a podcast production of Southwestern Christian University about events, sports, songs, and generally life on the campus. This show is produced by Dr. Kathleen Skinner, and I am your host, David Roman. Now let's get to today's podcast.
All right, we are here today, Dr. Skinner and I, with Mackenzie and Coach Arthur. You tell us a little bit about yourself, Mackenzie. Who are you and what you do?
I'm Mackenzie Jeans. I'm a sophomore here. I play basketball for Coach Arthur, and I study physical education, so that's kind of just where I'm at right now.
Okay. And Coach?
Yes, Coach Arthur, been here for 28 years, and athletic director and women's basketball coach, and I love this university.
When you say 28 years, does that include your time as a student?
No, just as an employee.
Okay.
Probably with as a student, and it's actually my second time here. I probably have close to 33, 34 years probably when you add it all up.
And when you were a student here, you probably played basketball.
I did. Played basketball in 1978 through 1980 here when we were a junior college.
I didn't ask him to date himself. That's on him. So what was your major when you were here?
I was just getting my Associate of Arts degree back then.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for. Everything else was pretty much ministry related, and I was not going into full-time ministry, so I went 2 years here and got what I came for and then transferred out.
Okay. So when was the first time you went to Columbia?
It's been 7 years now. We've been doing the trip. I guess around 2010, somewhere then, 2011, right in there. I did go by myself the year before just to see if what I was wanting to do would work there, and I wanted to get with some of the schools and the people down there to see if my idea was, something that would work in their system and that sort of thing. So it's really 8 years if you count that year. So,
and I remember some of the discussion about that. If I remember correctly, you kind of started out with a basketball camp or an athletic camp of some kind.
Yeah, the first year we started out with really basketball and soccer is what we did.
Okay.
At the time, Coach Greg Andrews was coaching the women's soccer team, and he and I kind of tag teamed it. And our basic idea was to go in and use athletics as a way to get our foot in the door to school there and then be able to share the gospel while we were there.
Is that what it looks like still?
Sure does, yeah.
Okay. You have a specific school, a number of schools?
We go to a different school every day.
Hmm.
Okay. Normally spend the whole day there at the school with them. We will start the day off with a chapel service, normally an hour to an hour and 15 minutes long, where the school there, they will do the praise and worship in there. The kids there at the school will do that, and then our kids will share their testimonies, two or three at each school. Then we'll do a short devotion with them, and then we conclude the service at some of the schools where we actually buy Bibles for them, bilingual Bibles, and we put their names on the Bibles. And at the end of the chapel service, I'll give Mackenzie a Bible, and she'll have a Bible with a name on it of one of the students that's a senior there at the university or at the school. And we call all of those seniors up, and we present them the Bible, and then we pray over them as the final thing that we do.
Pretty cool.
That's very special.
You started with basically one of your teams, a few of your students. I'm sure that it has grown quite a bit over the years.
It has. First year we had 13 students that went, and two coaches, myself and Coach Andrews. And then it's grown. Our biggest group that we had was right at 30 3 years ago.
So that's the biggest group you've taken?
Yeah.
Is that manageable?
It's manageable.
You're talking about a bunch of college kids here.
It's very difficult. As far as being at the schools and stuff, it's not difficult. The thing is just getting around town,
right,
trying to feed them, because a lot of the kids don't know Spanish, so you're having, we got a lot of people that are with us from Barranquilla there that help us order and stuff that understand English, but that's kind of the hardest part, is just trying to get everything ordered and food and transportation.
Right. So you, usted no habla español, ¿sí?
Sí.
And Mackenzie's habla un poco.
Mm-hmm.
Un poco.
Sí, sí.
Of course, Dr. Skinner teaches Spanish, so she's got a handle on things.
Usually.
You said you've got people there. You have like translators that go with you. And
yeah, I tell you, we have God's been good to us. He's opened so many doors there for us in schools. And you know, you go to those kind of countries, and while you're there, you're getting invitations from other schools to come. Matter of fact, last year we had a school that had to cancel on us because of some testing dates, and another school invited us, and so we filled in and went to that school, and it was a lower income school, and really probably had the best service that we've ever had while we were there.
So you kind of fly by the seat of your pants once you get there sometimes.
Yeah, most of it's pretty organized, but sometimes you have to be flexible with the Latin culture, and
yes,
and you have to be able, you know, be ready to move, you know.
Right.
So what can a student who's thinking about going on this expect in terms of accommodations? Do you do homestays? Do you stay in a church or a school?
No, with the way we with the athletic being so such a big part, it's the heat and the stuff there is very hot. Mm-hmm. You know, a normal day after we do our chapel service, then we're playing with doing games and stuff with kids for like 3 hours in the mid-afternoon sun. And then we might go back to the hotel and get 30 to minutes to an hour rest. And then the basketball kids, we're going out to do a clinic at night for 2 or 3 hours. And so it is a mission trip, but I just really felt like we needed to stay in accommodations that our kids can, you know, have air condition. They can get their body back to where they're ready to go the next day, because they have to, that next day, they've got to be able to go into that next school with energy and, mm-hmm. and smiles, and
right.
they've got to feel good. And so it would be super difficult to pull this off if we were in a home with no AC
right.
and that sort of
right.
thing. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, taking so many of the women's basketball team, with safety is a concern too. So mm-hmm. we want to play and stay in a place that's safe and secure.
We hear safe and secure and safety concerns a lot. You know, I take teams to Mexico City with my wife, and people say, oh, you go to Mexico City, it's so dangerous down there, all the drug cartels and stuff. But, of course, we know where we've been, we know where we're going, and people we're with. What's it like in Colombia?
You know, where we go, we have so many friends down there now that travel with us on the bus. The hotel's very secure. They really watch out for us. We've really never been in any life-threatening situations. We've had a couple scary moments, but
make for good stories.
Good stories and that sort of thing. But I think McKinsey can say she felt pretty safe most of the time.
Yeah, last year I don't even know if I had a situation where I felt unsafe about anything. And there's a big group of us, so I mean, you don't ever get lost in what you're. If we're walking around Cartagena or anything, you have a lot of people around you, so. Mm-hmm. I never had a moment that I was even thought about it, actually.
Have you been outside of the country before that?
No, that was my first time last summer. So
what were your concerns?
I was a little concerned about the language mostly, because I'm in Spanish with Dr. Skinner right now, but I hadn't been exposed to the Spanish culture yet or anything about it. So I was a little concerned about how that was supposed to work, how we were supposed to interact with students there. But once we got there, like Coach Arthur said, there are so many people that help us translate to them and help us make that barrier not a barrier. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was a big concern about it. It really wasn't much of that I'm scared to be there kind of thing. It was more of the language. So.
Okay.
So what was the biggest cultural difference that you found?
I don't know. I mean, the schools... I think that was a big thing, is just how the school systems were ran and how we, growing up in elementary schools, it's so different. And I think that was a big shock to me when I got to their schools. I wasn't, like, one of them, Boston, it's pretty good about it, but it still has the things that we don't do. And, like, the classrooms are different. And we went mm-hmm. to a school where their classroom just had box, like,
cinder blocks,
and that was their air to get into their classroom, and how that can affect a student's education. And I think
with
that
no
was
AC.
yeah, and I can imagine how difficult that is for the teachers there to keep them. And I mean, there's probably 15 to 20 kids in that class mm-hmm. because they can't separate them into two different classes, because there's only five classrooms, So to get 8th through 12th graders, you have to take all those kids in those classrooms. So I feel like that was a big shock to me to see how their education is kind of in that way compared to ours.
So I'm going to come back to you in just a minute. I'm going to give you a minute to think about this question. Is there something, one thing that you just came back like, boom,
the best
God did this in my life.
Yes.
But I'm going to give you time to think about that. Mark, tell us a little bit about the specifics. If a student is thinking about going, what's the process, the cost?
If a student, we have pre-meetings that we get together and I share what the trip entails, and it's an information, we hand out information sheets and let them know this is what you'll be doing, this is what the cost, this is kind of the approximate dates. The cost for our trip is $1,500 for 10 days, and that includes everything. Includes their airfare, their hotel, their food.
Man, that's great.
Yeah, it's really, for the cost, it's really inexpensive for 10 days.
Right.
And lodging is good, and so more than fair price for sure. Mm-hmm. If you see other organizations, what they're charging for missions trips, it can be $3,000 easy.
Yes.
And so we try to do it. I try to raise money to help offset some of the money for the kids that they don't have to raise. I hope to raise somewhere between $300 to $500 per student so that I don't have to make them raise $1,800. Mm-hmm. And so I work on that myself outside with some businessmen and things like that. So hopefully, if we raise more money than we need, what we do is we give it away to some of the schools there that, that we try to bless them with $500 or
$1,000,
whatever we can do. Mm-hmm. One school needed one church down there needed 100 chairs for their new ministry, and so we were able to purchase 100 chairs one year for them.
Sweet.
And things like that. So try to do those kind of things to, we want to go in there and bless them with God's word, but we also want to try to do a financial blessing if we can. Yeah. Not always can we do that, but it just depends on the year and how the finances come in.
Do you have deadlines, or are they soft or hard deadlines?
They're fairly soft, yeah, fairly soft. On the information page, I'll put a deadline. We want the first payment in by March 1st or something, but we work with the kids on that kind of stuff.
But I'm sure you don't want somebody waiting until the end of May to say,
We want to try to make our plane reservations by mid-March is what we'd like to do. So if we can get $500 to $600 per athlete in by mid-March, then we can go ahead and purchase the airplane tickets, and then we raise the rest as we go along.
When is their trip this year?
Right now we're looking May 5 through 15, right in that area. Might be May 6 through 16. It just depends. Sometimes you can wait a day and save a couple hundred dollars on an airline ticket. And I want it to be as cheap as possible for them.
Right. So a student who is wanting to go to that has a week off between, graduation.
Graduation,
and stuff,
yeah.
So they can go home and repack, get the right stuff. Is Franklin out there?
No, he's not here yet.
All right, so Mackenzie, big thing.
Okay, well, when we went to a school, it was a very small school and very...
La Riviera.
Yeah, very poverty school. We were... These kids were in a line with their classes and they were singing to us. And I remember walking by and everyone had their phones out videoing them singing. And I remember looking at this little girl and she kind of was looking at me, kind of wasn't. She was kind of just soft singing. But she had her hair all on one side of her head in a ponytail. And I kind of laughed because that's exactly how my mom did my hair when I was that age. So it kind of caught my attention. Well, when it did, I started to just stare at this girl. I know that sounds weird, but I just kind of kept watching her. And she kind of started to notice that I was looking at her. So she kind of took the attention and kind of went with it. But she stole my heart. And I literally love this girl so much, and I only saw her for a few hours. Her name is Aileen. I had a really hard time leaving her because having to go and see that this little girl goes through, and she's only a first or second grader, and see that the struggles that she might have, but yet she's still smiling and having so much fun. And here I am in America thinking I have it bad, and realizing that this little girl has it so much worse, and she's still smiling and having fun and keeping up with it. It was touching, and it was hard, but I have her. I showed you guys before. I have her as my lock screen on my phone, so I get to see a reminder of her every day. I have a picture of her up on my in front of my desk in my dorm room. So when I do struggle, and it's always school that I'm struggling with, it's always hard. It's kind of just a reminder that, hey, it could be worse. It could be way worse.
Puts things in perspective.
Yeah. It kind of just takes me. It takes a moment. It's like
first world problems.
Yeah, that you have it so much better, and that it could be worse, and that you just need to think about her all the time and just pray for her. And I try and do a good job of praying for her and making sure she's safe and stuff like that. So I think that was the one thing. And then there was many things that I got out of that trip, but that was the most special moment I ever had.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Are you planning on going back?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Will you go back to the same school?
We'll go back to a lot of the same schools. You know, when I started doing this, a lot of people do mission trips, and they'll go one place one year, and then they'll go another place the next year, and they'll go another place the next year. And I really felt like to make an impact, we need to go back to the same places, and they need to see us on a regular basis to let them know we really care about them. And,
well, there's also building those relationships.
Yeah, and it's causing some other things to open up for us educationally, which Dr. Skinner and I are working on with Dr. Hinkle, that we've just got contacts down there now that we may have a lot of Colombian students that are going to be attending Southwestern there via online and things. So there's some things in the works that I had never dreamed of, you know, but we've been highly favored. The pastor at Boston International is one of the premier pastors in the country. Matter of fact, when President Trump just initially got into office, he invited 7 pastors from South America, and Pastor David Reyes was one of them. And we are very close with them. I invited them to the White House, and so a lot of great doors are opening for us there.
Very cool.
Now, you've taken faculty along with you before.
We have.
And is that a yearly thing, too?
No, we haven't done it. We only took the faculty 1 year. And we probably haven't pushed it enough, but the 1 year we did it, while we're out playing with the kids, like we might be doing the first through sixth graders from 10 o'clock to 11:30, while we were doing that, when we took the faculty with us, they were doing some teacher training with those teachers of those age kids. And so, and then the same thing with the high school kids. And they would pick the subject, whatever they needed help with, whether it was integrating faith and learning or whatever, or classroom discipline or whatever. So our faculty, that's what they taught with or went with on the subject. And it worked out really well. It's a lot to pull off all that, and
moving parts.
Yeah, it would almost be better just to have a mission trip to take 3 or 4 faculty and just go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on that themselves and
professional development for them.
For them, yeah. So, but who knows what happens down the road?
So you've been there 7 years. What are some of the things that you've seen over the years?
As far as things that
interaction with the students, God moving.
I mean, the biggest thing. You know, we go down there to make a difference in the lives, but the biggest thing is to watch the lives of our kids change.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's very impactful. You don't think giving your testimony is a difficult thing, but it's a difficult thing for these kids.
Yeah.
And I try to tell our kids, be real. You know. I try to tell the Colombian kids, you know, American kids, we live in a great country, but our kids struggle with the same things you guys struggle with. And I let our kids know, when you're sharing your testimony, you need to let that know. And we've had some tremendous testimonies that our kids have been very vulnerable, very difficult situation to share.
Wow.
In the end, the Colombian kids are able to look at our kids and say, hey, they're just like us. And if God can help them through that situation, they can help me through that situation. And so, but, you know, we've had so many, incredible moments. I mean, last year when we went to the one school that we weren't supposed to go to, and and when I got up to speak, I just told the kids there in the audience, I said, you know, we weren't even planning to come here, but God has us here for a reason. And we had three of our guy basketball players giving their testimonies that morning, and they got done. And then Dr. Reggie shared his experience. Well, it was, you know, about 10 or 15 minutes. And we're in a room that holds about 100 kids, and it was tight, compact. And it was tight.
It was tight.
And they were probably, what do you think, third? No, probably fifth grade on up. Fifth grade on up, probably. Dr. Ridge was sharing his experience of growing up and how he ran away from home, that sort of thing, and the rough situations he had. And the Spirit of God just fell in that place. And their kids just started weeping. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was just uncontrollable weeping. Mm-hmm. And it was great to see our kids.
Sounds like this was a really, really strong experience.
I mean, while he's speaking, our kids are just getting up and going and praying for the kid. It was just powerful.
Yeah.
The weeping was uncontrollable, like, and it was loud. It was touching, but when we first started hearing it, you were kind of confused, like is this
what's
really happening?
Yeah.
And you look and you just see, you can just see their faces are red, their heads are down, they're just weeping, and you can see their shoulders just moving in. You can see that the Spirit of God was there. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Reggie's, through the testimonies that those boys gave and through Reggie's testimony, you could see that it was changing their lives, and it touched them.
Mm-hmm.
Through a time that we weren't even supposed to be there, it touched so many students. And I think that was definitely one of the days
mm-hmm.
that all of us as the students who went got to see what this was all about,
right.
why we were there, and what kind of impact that those stories were helping on those students that didn't know the mm-hmm. Lord or
wow.
didn't understand how to handle their situations.
Yeah, they were just, you know, some of the fifth, sixth graders saying, you know, I've never felt what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I'm crying. And it was just really a powerful time for us
yeah.
and for our students also. I mean, mm-hmm. our students were crying just as much as those that they were. I mean, I think we all were. Man, it was special.
It was very
yeah.
special.
And you weren't even supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That was very good. God is a good God.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you think you'll go back to that school? I mean, what was a
yes,
fluke?
We'll go back.
Okay.
We'll definitely go back this year.
Right.
Definitely plan to go back there in the mornings,
yeah.
and it's a tough, difficult school, but they really enjoyed having us that day, I think.
I know that some of my music students have come out of that
yeah.
area, and some of, and a result of that mission
True.
Experience. Do you have to be an athlete to go on the mission trip?
No, you don't have to be. We've had some non-athletes go right, like last year, we had a young lady named Judith Gallegos go, and she's just a ministry student here,
mm-hmm.
but she speaks Spanish really well, she's a tremendous young lady. And matter of fact, Franklin's mom and dad's church, she was able to pray. And Kenzie will remember this, a lady that was with us, kind of traveling with
mm-hmm.
us some from another. She came 6 or 8 hours from another city just to be with us for, and she had, was it a kidney
I think so.
Issue?
Yeah, I think
something
it was.
Like that. And I can't remember how it happened, but they had Judith begin to pray for her. And the lady felt like she was touched by God. And so she was with us the next few days, and her symptoms and everything just went totally clean.
Wow.
And I checked with her 2 months after we got back, and she was still.
That's amazing.
She just felt like God healed her right there,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. So
that's really miraculous.
So we've seen some.
Yeah,
and it's great to see some of our. I've seen our kids pray for kids, and the Colombian people fall out in the spirit. So I mean, I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you got people. You know, Kelsey Dawkins went on one of the first early trips, and. she would pray, and she was very anointed, and she'd pray for people, and they'd fall out in the Spirit, and she never, she didn't know anything about most of that stuff, but she...
She was just doing what God told her to do.
It was just, and they'd fall out, and then she'd just fall to her knees, and so it's been some incredible.
Hmm. Wow.
We had Franklin walk in while we were sharing there. Hi, Franklin.
How you doing, sir?
Tell me your last name.
Ordonez. Ordonez in Spanish.
That sounds the same. Ordonez, Ordonez. You've been to Columbia?
Yeah.
You came from there, didn't you?
Yeah, I came from
there.
All
right. So you were on the other end of this.
Yeah. So I was like, the part that I liked the most about going to Columbia is that I feel like I was part of those little kids, you know, wanting shirts and, you know, grabbing people's arms, just trying to get a hold of them, and
yeah,
autographs and, you know, player cards and all that kinds of stuff. And now that I can get, you know, to be a part of it, it's just, it feels nice. That's just the part that I like the most about it.
Do you remember the first time you met Coach?
Yeah, I was like this tall.
How old were you?
I was, when I was in my senior in high school, I was 15 probably.
Okay. You're probably a little younger than that, probably 12.
Oh, yeah, because I met you guys when I was in ninth grade.
Eight, yeah.
Yeah, so I was 13 by the time I met Coach Arthur. Yeah.
Okay. Was that it? They were on a mission trip? Was that your first time there when you were alone? Or
first trip,
yeah.
I believe. Okay. First trip, and Franklin was a little guy, real little, but he was a pretty good little player for over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of got taken in by our whole team, really. They kind of adopted him that first year. And we had a young... You guys might remember Allie McIntosh, who went on the trip, and she became very close with Franklin. And then each year, we'd see him each year we'd go back. And that's kind of why I like to go back to the same places, because you get to see these kids and see where
right.
they, you know, are they making progress, you know, and that sort of thing. And so
yeah.
It'd be real simple to go to a different place every year, but I think it's critical to go back to the same place to let those people know. I mean, you know, he played for a club basketball team there, and we've been working with that club team for, because they really don't have a lot of high school teams there. It's a lot more club teams. But, you know, we've developed a relationship with the coaches there, where his coach actually has visited here for 3 weeks and stayed with us and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I just think, you know, going back year after year, you just, you know, they see you and they
right.
still know you're praying for them and being there, you know, that sort of thing. So,
you were a tot, 12, 15, 13.
Yeah.
What's it like being there and having this mission team? What are some of the experiences that you saw from being on that end of it?
Man, it was like Coach Arthur was saying about whenever they pray for us, it's just like sometimes we, you know, we didn't understand what they were saying, but they were still praying for us. And it was just nice because we can, you know, all pray together. And I remember last year when we were on the mission trip, whenever we went to that little poor school that, you know, everybody started crying, and it was just for like 30 minutes, and we were just crying there, just, you know, in our knees, just crying.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so, those moments, I feel like those are the ones we appreciate the most, and probably those are the times we get to impact those kids' life better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing.
So you've been a student here for a while. How many times have you been back on this mission experience?
I feel like this is going to be my third year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Third year?
Yeah, okay. So I've been there twice.
Do you have a special experience being from the university going back? Do you have a special experience?
Yeah, I have to translate.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Habla español.
So, yeah, that kind of helped me a lot too, you know, personally, being able to translate. So I'll say that's like a good mm-hmm. experience.
Who do you translate the testimonies that the guys give, or do you just do like interpersonal?
Sometimes I have to do both, like mm-hmm. translate from, you know, Spanish to English and then English to Spanish. So
mm-hmm.
I get both.
They're growing both in that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What are you studying here?
I was going for business, but then I changed it to sports management.
So. Okay. All right. Do you plan to go back?
Home, yeah. Yeah. One day I hope to be back. Yeah.
One day. Okay.
One of these days, yeah.
You think that degree will help you when you go back?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, most likely it will. It will open up doors and, you know.
Yeah.
He wants to be president of Columbia.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Future president of Columbia, yeah. Sitting with us.
That's right.
Do you have a question?
I think we've covered everything that...
So, just to recap, it's open to anybody.
Right.
Students, preferably, mm-hmm. I guess. Staff people, maybe.
Yeah.
Athletes.
Yeah.
And you don't have hard deadlines, but you really would like to know...
We need to know by March 15th, you know, okay. who's going. Because we've got to get everything purchased. And
so that's in just a little bit less than a month?
Yep. 2 weeks, really.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Right after spring break.
Yep.
Well, that's actually the Friday of spring break. So if somebody's on spring break, they might have to email you and say, well, I've decided to go.
Yeah.
What is their process? Do they have a form that they fill out?
I have letters that are that I generate for the kids. And we send them out for them. They try to come up with 30 addresses of people they think will donate to them. I have the letter. I print the letter. Like Kenzie will say, hey, I need 30 letters. I'll print them off with her name on them. She'll put a little note at the end, and the letters are all the same about the trip. Mm-hmm. And she'll put a little note down there at the bottom just asking the person to consider helping her. Mm-hmm. We put a postage paid return envelope inside, so all the person has to do is open it up, read it, put their donation in. It comes back to the school here. Her name's on the postage paid envelope at the bottom left, and it goes right into her Columbia account.
Cool.
So that's kind of what we've done.
Do you do that? Or do you just... pay for your own trip?
I pay for my own trip. Like, I pay for my own plane tickets.
Yeah, he's just there.
Yeah, the rich guy. Yeah, okay. Do you send out this letter?
Yeah, I send out the letters.
Do you have trouble with that, or is that okay?
Not really. I try and just use my, like, people from my church. And even Coach Arthur told us kind of a good way to do it is if you have a good connection with your church and your pastor, getting up and kind of telling them what you're doing, if you've been before, and then, like, kind of taking up a donation for it, too. The letters aren't hard, though. They're really easy. You just have to get addresses.
Right.
It's really a simple thing because they can just send it right back to us. Yeah. So
it's really just a what will people think kind of thing, probably.
And most kids, I mean, if they'll come up with 30 names, they can raise the money. You'd be surprised. I mean, I've had people send one check in for a student for $1,500.
Wow.
Nice.
That's very nice.
So maybe you ought to try that this year.
Probably, yeah.
You don't have to pay so much money.
True. That's true.
And this is basically the first part of May, 5th-ish through the 15th for 10 days. It might be the 6th through the 16th, right, just depending on tickets. But and it's a really reasonable cost. I've been several different places out of the nation, and that is an incredible cost.
It really is.
To go for $1,500 is unthinkable. So,
and the really experience cool. that our students will bring back and what they'll give to the culture's there, the school's there. That's priceless.
Can we pray?
Sure.
God, thank you so much for the opportunities that are given to us to represent you and to be a part of this school and to represent the school. And thank you, God, for the people that have been throughout the years to Columbia and to this ministry and the way that that has impacted lives in Columbia, but even more importantly, lives of our own students here, God. And thank you for the students who are thinking about going this year, thinking about, God, I pray that you would give them the boldness to step out and make that commitment. And then, God, give them the finances to follow through with that commitment, God. And then as they're there, you would give them grace and the words and direction and a wonderful opportunity to experience who you are in a different setting. I pray for these, for Mark as he prepares the team, and for, of course, Mackenzie and Franklin as they get ready to go, and others that are planning to go. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, work in all of the lives involved throughout the next few weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you guys have a good time.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by Dr. Kathleen Skinner, and I'm David Roman, your host. Check out the university on our website at www.swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma, with branches in Tulsa and around the world.